CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Well, you know, Hal, before we start debating, I got to start this off by saying leave it to a Fusebox guy to take something that should have been very simple and make it extraordinarily complicated. Jesus, all you had to do was show up and talk. You know, could you have thrown a little bit more crap in the way?
Who was it that couldn't get their speaker working? That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. I got Todd here. Todd's going to moderate. I actually haven't looked at the format of the debate.
Most of it's
personally
self-moderated.
It's self-moderated. Well, you're going to have to cue us, Todd. Is your microphone working? You might gotta hit the.
Mostly, I'm judging time, so you don't talk about yourself the whole time.
I'm not.
So, let Hal talk about himself for a little bit too.
We are missing you here, Hal.
I appreciate it. I'm missing you guys too. I'm sitting here working 14 hours a day, and it sounds like you're having a lot more fun than I am.
That's it? 14? You're getting
old.
For
me, that's a lot. Yeah, got that right.
Cool. You're cool. All right. Well, Todd, I'm going to let you run the show.
Great.
I'm just going to talk when I'm supposed to talk and stay quiet when I'm supposed to stay quiet. Hal, we have Jeff here as well, up on stage. He's here because, you know, I thought you could need some help. I'm sure there's some other. I got a feeling this is going to turn into me finding out what it feels like to be a pinata. But I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, Jeff told me that last night. He says CF pinata.
Right.
I told him. I said Simon loves that.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I think I'm here too, Hal. So.
Okay. Well, great. Let's go ahead and get started. Cheers to everyone. Wait, I get a beer drink on that.
Hal, did you get a beer?
I know. But okay. Welcome, Celebrity Deathmatch. We got two heads of the CF community here. One here. We wish we had him on Breeze. We also have Hal Helms coming in live on Breeze. Where is he at right now?
Well, one of us who actually showed up. Hal's down in Florida.
Florida.
Right, Hal?
With the alligators.
Yes, Sarasota.
That's right.
Okay. But Hal's out there with the alligators. So what we're talking about today, we're going to have some a brief information about them. Then we're going to have them fight because both of them are big-headed.
Fight.
With the two people big-headed together, it's bound to be trouble. So we'll try not to draw too much blood tonight. And y'all speak up. We'll have a couple of questions y'all can ask. To either one, and see if you can stump the expert, maybe. And cool. Well, we're gonna start by getting a brief idea of how did Simon come to where he's at today in Cold Fusion, in a little history. Then we'll get a brief history by Hal.
Just my actual.
Real quick, a minute. You know,
who am I?
Minute.
What do I do? How
exactly.
Did I start using Cold Fusion?
Exactly.
About 11 years ago, I worked as a. An RPG programmer on mainframe systems, and I was also doing a lot of Visual Basic client development, client server development, and started using this new thing called Java. And one day, the owner of the company I worked for said, hey, check out this new web thing called Cold Fusion, because they were doing everything with ASP. And I loved it, and I've been doing it for 11 years now, ever since. And I do still love using it. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cold Fusion Developers Journal, the chief information officer at AboutWeb, solutions training and staffing company about stone's throw from here. And I like making fun of Hal.
Great.
And I have to accept that. Because Simon is my boss, being the editor at CFDJ, and I'm a mere lowly writer.
Yeah, because we both get paid, at all.
$2.
Anyway, go on.
I started with Cold Fusion about 8 years ago. I came from the Smalltalk world, moved into Java briefly, and then saw Cold Fusion, was intrigued by it, and I have been programming in Cold Fusion and Java ever since, and sadly not at all in Smalltalk.
Great. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to start, if y'all know both, Hal loves frameworks. We're going to go ahead and ask... what the strengths of frameworks are in coding for Cold Fusion.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. Thank Michael and Liz for the great job they did with CF United and the folks who were so kind and stepping up when I had to miss CF United. And I also want to thank Simon and salute him as a brave man. Seriously, how many of us would enter into this battle of wits completely unarmed? So we're here to have some fun tonight and to consider the more serious question of how frameworks fit into the overall pattern of software architecture of how we do our jobs. Right, you're going to hear both Simon and me argue for our respective positions. We're going to try to win you over to our point of view. Now, for people whose minds are already made up, there's virtually nothing that either of us could say to sway that person. No amount of reasoning will, for example, sway Simon from his position, and no amount of gibberish will sway people like Sean Corfield, Jeff Peters, Doug Hughes, Chris Scott, Joe Reinhardt. Well, the list of framework creators and users of frameworks is a virtual Olympia of Cold Fusion experts.
Nice, Hal.
What do I think the strengths? Thank you very much. What do I think the strengths of frameworks are? Well, they provide an abstraction layer, and so they share all the benefits of any abstraction layer. They code reuse is maximized. The intent is provided and shared before the implementation. Complexities that you don't need to worry about are hidden behind an API. Then frameworks are useful because they remove a lot of the drudgery of writing applications. We only write our own DAOs and gateways, for example, because we have no other choice. When Reactor appears and does this for us, if we're not brain-addled from too many adult beverages, we adopt the Reactor framework. The same is true for ColdSpring, Fusebox, ModelGlue, Mach2, whatever. And then frameworks allow teams of developers to work together more smoothly. Over the last year, Simon has teased us all, promising us details of his amazing simple assembly methodology.
But sensible.
Oddly, we've never seen it. Oh, sensible. I'm sorry. I think that I might have made that mistake because we've never actually seen anything. Isn't this something how often this happens? Now, back in 2001, the self-proclaimed psychic Sylvia Brown appeared on Larry King and promised the world that she would allow scientists to test her psychic powers. But wouldn't you know it, she just got busy, and for 249 weeks, she's just not been able to find the time. Do you suppose, just for a moment, that maybe Sylvia knows that her powers aren't quite what she represents them as? Of course, I'm sure that this does not apply to Simon, that he has a perfectly legitimate reason. Maybe he just hasn't been able to find the time. Now, the reason I can't be with you folks tonight is that I'm working on a very large project. And big projects are exciting. With a big project comes exciting challenges, opportunities to expand our knowledge, and of course, a great deal of money. But I can't do a really large project by myself. I surround myself with an excellent team, and for that team to work together smoothly, I find a framework most helpful.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you just say?
I basically said you're a bonehead.
Were you talking?
I know those words over two syllables are hard for you, and I really have tried to pare this down.
No, I'm not gonna go messing around with sharing my screen. I was gonna pull up for you the. I'm pretty much done documenting it, by the way. I'm just letting the people here take a quick look, just to show them that I actually have been. Ooh, that wasn't good. I actually have started documenting the stuff that people want to know about, how the methodology works. Oops. There's... well, it's a work in progress. I like things that are short. I like things that are simple. It's supposed to be sensible. Easy to understand and follow. Anyway.
Is everyone looking at your sensible assembly methodology?
Yeah. You're right, Hal. I've been talking about it for a while. I haven't shown anything. I haven't documented anything. Well, I've shown some applications that do follow the methodology, but I haven't really told anybody how to use it. That's because, you know, quite honestly, the methodology is just however I've decided to build applications. You know, this isn't something I designed for the public or intended to really publicly release. It's just how I've found, you know, building applications works for me, with or without using a framework. It just works better, faster, you know, more sensibly than anything else I've seen out there. I do apologize to those of you who've been waiting for the documentation. Was there something there I was actually supposed to rebuke, Hal? I heard you going blah, blah, blah.
I think
you... kind of like the teacher from the background. What were you saying? I thought you were supposed to say something about benefits of frameworks. Did you actually find any in there? I know you said you listed a bunch of names, which that's great, out of the, you know, 200,000 people that use ColdFusion. I'm glad you found, you know, 7 or 8 that's nice to know these frameworks. But, you know, I do know that about 90% of the ColdFusion applications out there don't use frameworks. So, you know, I'm waiting for something. You haven't said anything yet that impressed me.
Well, I talked about them being an abstraction layer. I talked about the fact that they're useful because they eliminate a lot of the drudgery and that they allow teams of developers to work smoothly together. And I think those are all pretty decent benefits.
Yeah. No, I think I think there's one thing that I do before you and I have a lot of fun making fun of each other, because you're just a lot of fun to make fun of, and I know I am.
Looking
at this photo, I mean, I think I do make it really easy. I should say that, I don't disagree with what you've said about frameworks, that there are some noble intentions behind them. I also think that, you know, looking at it from where I come from, you know, frameworks just, it's not the right time for me to be promoting them. I come from the mindset that, you know, right now we need more developers that are better developers before they start jumping into using frameworks. And I'll tell you why I say that. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of very good developers that use frameworks. I'm not going to argue that. And I think there are some very good reasons for frameworks to be around. There are good reasons to use frameworks, right? The idea of standardizing code, that's a good thing. In a team environment, frameworks are terrific. You know, I mean, they have some noble intentions. I just don't think they work very well, you know, in achieving them. I don't like the end result. The side effects. I've been a certified instructor for about, 7 or 8 years now, you know, and I've had students come to class. This is actually where my kind of disliking of frameworks started. I always thought Fusebox, back when it was the only framework out there, had very noble intentions. Very noble intentions, you know, but I didn't like the way it achieved them, personally, back then. But when I was an instructor, when I started teaching, 7 or 8 years ago, I would get students come to class, and they're in the Fast Track to ColdFusion, the intro level class, which is literally, you do not have to have ever seen ColdFusion to come to this class. And if you've ever worked with ColdFusion for like more than 3 weeks, you shouldn't need this class. I had people come to class and tell me, well, yeah, actually, I've been using ColdFusion for 2 years. And every single one of the people that said something like that to me were people who were using Fusebox. Now, that's not the fault of the framework, I know, and I know that's what you're going to tell me, right? But the bottom line is, I'd feel irresponsible promoting the idea of using something that doesn't encourage you to become a better developer. Just point blank,
no.
Period.
Simon, it's frameworks that introduce the ColdFusion community to the idea of object orientation, to the object of design patterns, to the idea of the model view controller. So I don't think that it's really fair to say that frameworks and framework users have not been at the forefront of promoting best practices. I think, you know, the fact that someone cares enough and is passionate enough to use a framework often means that they're one of the better developers.
I hazard to guess that if you were to ask about 90% of the people who use frameworks why they use them, they'd say, I don't know. I hazard to guess if you asked about 80% of the people that use ColdFusion why they use ColdFusion, they'd say, I don't know. That's what my company uses. I've chosen to take the approach of promoting the idea of people just thinking more about what they're doing and why they're doing it, including why you use ColdFusion. You should think about that.
That's pretty hard to disagree with, but it really doesn't have anything to do with someone using frameworks or not using frameworks. There's no correlation between someone who uses a framework and someone who writes good code or bad code. I mean, there are people in both camps, and I wish we could finally put the straw horse to pasture, is that the idea that framework users are using these as crutches. I mean, you've got some of the best developers in the ColdFusion world who are passionate enthusiasts for frameworks. I don't think they're doing it because they have never learned to deal with arrays and structures.
Yeah, but that's less than 1% of the people using frameworks.
Well, I'm saying if you're looking about what's representative, I think the users, there's a reason that people like Sean and Joe and Jeff and Edwards, you know, people use frameworks. It's not because they're not good developers. It's because they're more, you know, there's only so many times you can write the same code over and over before it's enough.
I agree.
And I think that... you know, we've all experienced the drudgery of writing the same bit of code. You know, the Greeks had this myth about Sisyphus, who, as punishment for his pride and his arrogance, was condemned for all eternity to roll a boulder uphill, only to have it roll back down again. And that's not a bad description of writing the same code over and over and over again. And
yeah.
So I saw in frameworks a way to escape the fate of Sisyphus. I wanted to spend as little time on the plumbing as possible while getting as much reuse of code as possible. But, I mean, I admire you so willingly to share in Sisyphus' fate and to encourage other people to join you in that fated, that ill-fated endeavor. And then when I saw really smart people, you know, good and successful developers who use frameworks to escape from that drudgery and to free themselves up to concentrate on writing great apps, well, that had a great appeal to me. And just as I tried to learn from other successes, I learned from their mistakes, and so when I got to a point when I was running projects, I knew that I wanted to be successful, and I knew that success meant more than delivering a deliverable that ran. I mean, that was expected. But was it well documented? Was it easy to maintain? Could I hand it off easily to others? Was it delivered on time and under budget? If I was going to do all that well, I had to offload as much non-essential stuff, the plumbing, as possible, and that's exactly what frameworks allow me to do.
That's fair enough.
I think we came to the conclusion that frameworks, please, you know, don't use that as your crutch. Please learn to program.
Well, and I think to be honest with you, that is part of what I just don't like, is that it's too easy for it to be a crutch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to get into an argument with you about the value of code reuse. Never reuse code. Come on, Al. I'm not that dumb. Of course you should reuse code. I'm not going to argue that point.
But like so many things, Simon,
and
if you don't have a process for it,
no,
intentions like reusing code never get implemented.
No, I'm all for reusing code. I just like reusing good code. I like reusing code that... I'm sorry, that was a cheap shot, but you didn't show up, so I'm allowed to do those things, all right?
You are allowed.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I recognize the fact that, number one, frameworks make it very, very easy for somebody who starts with frameworks and doesn't build a lot of applications on their own before they've used one to never become somebody capable of doing anything without a framework. I also recognize that 85% of the cost of software maintenance, of owning software, is in maintenance. And I find that frameworks do add a level of complexity for a lot of people that is unnecessary.
They absolutely do add... There is a cost to frameworks, and I talked about the strengths of frameworks, also to talk about the weakness of frameworks, and probably the biggest weakness is that it takes time to learn them. I mean, you know, we can teach someone to do basic Cold Fusion coding in a few hours, but it takes more than that to become proficient in something like Model Glue or Fusebox.
Yeah.
But I think you're not seeing, Simon, that this is a one-time cost. The time and savings in money and time and frustration and late jobs, those go on and on. I mean, it's like when I was in high school. I knew kids who dropped out of high school and they entered the workforce. And for a while, they were ahead in earnings of the kids who stayed in school. But those kids who stayed in school, you know, who paid that one-time cost, generally fared a lot better than their counterparts who could only see the cost and not the rewards.
Okay, hold on, Hal. We got a question in the audience here while we're talking.
Well, it's more of a statement, really. I've had a similar argument with Simon before in the London Cold Fusion user group.
How many people here have had this argument with me in the room? Actually, a lot of people have, but go on.
But you say that, I don't know, you come to the conclusion that you shouldn't use frameworks as a crutch, but to a certain extent, I think they are a crutch for some people, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I have some guys who work for me who are able to use Fusebox quite adequately, but I cannot imagine them doing what Simon does, and that is coming up with a suitable framework for every particular application he develops. They're not as clever as Simon, and I don't claim they are. And if without a framework, they wouldn't be anywhere near as productive as they are. And I think in that case, perhaps it is a crutch, but it's a good thing.
I'm going to get you later, Kevin. I know you. yeah, it's a good thing. Frameworks do allow you to do things that are beyond your capabilities when you're starting. I agree. But everything's going to stay outside of your capabilities if you continue to rely on the framework. And does it have to be that way? No. My point is, it makes it too easy not to get better. That's one of the things I don't like. And Hal and I have had this debate a lot of times. And there's a statement I make, and I've made it in articles, and I've made it in public a lot of times. I've said it several times this week. And it sounds, you know, it sounds like, oh, it's a nice idea, but is it practical? It sounds like it could be taken elitist. It could be taken a lot of different ways. But I always tell people that what we need right now are better developers. Period. If we had a lot of better developers, I wouldn't be worried about people using frameworks.
So, Simon, this is just a completely bogus, specious argument. Of course we need better developers.
Yeah,
but what you're saying is, let's all become better developers. And what I'm saying is, you don't become a better developer by branding yourself as a better developer. You do it by studying. You do it by learning from others.
Yeah, but frameworks make it very easy to not ever force yourself to do that, don't they?
They make
it a lot easier.
Sure, of course they don't.
Yeah.
They don't do it at all. You know, if you're going to use Model Glue, if you're going to use Mach 2, you're going to have to learn object-oriented programming. You're going to have to learn about design patterns. Of course, I've heard you dismiss design patterns as too fussy and requiring too much memorization, so I suppose in that regard, we should be flattered that you know frameworks are in the same neighborhood as you put design patterns. But I mean, I think that's just silly. The people that I've mentioned to you, who are some of the best developers in the Cold Fusion community, I mean, wouldn't you think that
I tell you what, name me one developer, Hal, one developer that started their career using frameworks in that list. One. Did any of them get better and they started using frameworks? They got as good as they are at writing code because they weren't using frameworks. I'd argue that.
That's your interpretation. Ask any of them. Ask Jeff Peters. He's there tonight. Ask any of the, I don't know who else is there, but ask any of the people.
Hal, we can barely hear you, although I'm sure you're not saying anything very important. Can you speak up?
Yeah. I said ask anybody who has been using frameworks. Jeff is there tonight. Ask Jeff. Hey, Jeff, did you get smart before you started using frameworks? And then frameworks, have you just been on sort of a maintenance path all the way along?
No, I adopted frameworks and stopped learning immediately.
Yeah.
But you're one up on Simon, who apparently never started learning.
No.
Oh, snap.
In fact, Hal, one of the thoughts that occurred to me a few minutes ago was sitting here, I see a few faces in the audience that were in my project management with Fusebox session earlier today. And thank you. That's very kind of you. And I would give one quick illustration on one of the huge strengths of frameworks, and that is that during that session today, I presented two utilities to the group that attended, and because they happened to be Fusebox 4 users, they were able to grab them and use them immediately in their own environments and augment them and improve them and adapt them to their own situations with zero pain, really. And if we were all using different environments and no frameworks, that would have been completely impossible. So just one point for frameworks there.
Jeff, did you look at my CF Pet Market sample code?
Briefly.
Did you find one thing difficult about that to follow? One thing?
But I didn't find anything that I could apply any of my tools to either.
No, you can't apply your tools to it, but was it difficult to follow?
No.
Would it have been difficult to maintain?
Not for me, no.
It didn't take me long to build.
I'm sure it did.
Everything in there was the application. It was actually application agnostic, other than the actual SQL, and I could have migrated any of those objects. As a matter of fact, I migrated 90% of those objects from other applications I built.
Okay.
I did reuse all those objects.
You go on your next project, and the new guy has to maintain your thing.
If they need a user, and I already have that user object's already written, I would move that object over there, and I'd customize it for that application.
But when you're working on the next thing, and you've gone on, and somebody else has to take over your stuff, and
it's easy to maintain.
Is it?
It is.
You sure?
Yeah.
Anybody that walks in the door?
Yep. Okay. Anybody who knows Cold Fusion, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
That's cool.
It's easy to look at the page you're browsing where you got the error and follow the code. That's what, you know, you ever try following a code or trying to figure out what this fuse error or whatever the hell those things are called that get thrown out? I mean, I've done almost, you know, I've done a lot of code reviews and a lot of debugging of
other people's
apps.
How many people listen to the podcast that Hal and I do?
You know, it's not easy to debug that, though.
A few sessions ago, we mentioned one thing that we hate more than anything else in trying to figure out how particularly utilities that other people write do, and that's an attitude that we summed up in an acronym. Anybody remember it? RTFC. Read the code. Right? So would you rather have something documented that you can sort out, or would you rather have to read through the code to do it? Right? So if you have a framework that you're familiar with, obviously, you have a common ground that you can speak from. And I see a lot of faces out here from, you know, pick your favorite framework. It doesn't really matter whether it's Fusebox or Mach 2 or Model Glue or whatever. When you hit the ground here at CF United, you've already got the launching point to talk about things from, right? So you don't have to learn each other's code. We got a couple of hands coming up here, so I'm going to hand over the mic so we can get back to the audience.
I'd like to go back to
what's wrong,
Hal? A few seconds ago.
Okay. Hold on one sec. All right, yeah, Hal. Hold on one sec. Yeah, Hal. I got to repeat. What the hell is this?
What are you talking to me?
Whoa, there you go. All right. Hold on, Hal. We got a question.
Hold on, Hal. A few moments ago, the gentleman over here was talking about coding standards for his organization. He was talking about how frameworks sort of set a standard for his company.
Yeah.
He uses open source frameworks, I'm assuming, to build some sort of structure for his company. Now, in your company, obviously they have you, and you're able to develop a set of standards for your company. But not everybody has that. Not everyone should invest their own time in developing their own language, their own set of standards, etc., because there's open source frameworks out there that do this. Is it worth your company time to develop all this, to develop your own set of standards, your own way of working? And if you leave that company, have you bought into something that you cannot reuse? And that's a little bit what I think it's about. There are open source projects out there doing this for the community. You're not crutching yourself by learning it. You're learning a type of a methodology, perhaps, or a way of working, perhaps, that other people are working on. And you're not putting your own time into developing that. And that's what a lot of it is about.
Could you hear that, Hal?
No, I couldn't, Simon.
Okay, that was a long question. all right, well, I'll kind of repeat it. Hopefully, just correct me if I miss something as I repeat it, and I'll answer as I repeat, and then you can chime in, Hal.
Okay.
So you started by stating that you know, what I talk about might work fine at the company that I work for because I'm there, and you know, that's not necessarily the case for other places. And I do want to immediately respond to that by saying that most of the people that work for me think I'm full of crap. I don't force the people that work for me to use the methodology that I use. I don't poo-poo them for using frameworks. As a matter of fact, we've done several large applications that use frameworks. I didn't encourage them to use frameworks. I didn't stop them from doing it either, and usually the client had decided it before we got there. But I never once tried to dissuade the client from doing it, and I think, like I said, there are some good reasons for using frameworks. That's fine. If that suited their needs and they could justify doing it, that I don't have a problem with that. Is the idea of people building things the way I like to build things practical? If you don't have somebody who understands how to model a domain and who understands object-oriented programming, at least one person in your organization that understands that, then yeah, it's impractical. You'll never be able to do it. I mean, the methodology I use is based on properly object modeling a domain and then implementing that model using objects. And if you can't do that, then yeah, you can't. You really just can't do it. You know, that's just. But that should be the case in any. I mean, if you want to build things in the optimal way, that's just reality anyway, really. You know. There was another part to the question, I think.
Well, I mean, what I was saying originally was that if your company was to look at, is it worth their development time to have you produce your own methodology for the company when there is open source frameworks out there?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Either
so,
way,
okay.
What's worth your development time for your company?
Is okay. So is it so? Okay. So Hal, for your benefit, I was asked, is it worth my company's time to have me document and write down this methodology and teach this methodology as opposed to using something that's out there that's already documented that already works? The answer to that is my company's not paying me to document this methodology. I just started doing it because people were harassing the hell out of me about just writing down how I do things, because there are that many people who want to know how to do things well without using a framework. I mean, there are actually that many people who don't want to use a framework but don't know what else there is to do that have asked me to do that, to write down how I build things. And the reason I haven't released it, to be totally honest with you, is because I really don't know how to document something like that. I mean the easy answer.
Well, that's no surprise to me.
Well, no,
Simon, one of the things time to figure out if you actually adopted a framework freed up from the drudgery.
My easy answer would be, I mean, I could name you about 40 books that I've read in the past 5 or 6 years that have been very influential in my deciding how things should and shouldn't work. I could basically write down, about 20 or 30 real life experiences that have shaped my decisions, and I would tell you to write code for 11 years. I mean, that's actually how I came up with it. I mean, it's not like I didn't just sit down one day and say, I'm going to write a framework or I'm going to come up with a methodology. This is just over the course of my career, I've just found that there are certain things that just work in the real world and don't work in the real world. And there are certain things that I've read that I found intriguing that I thought I would try applying, and they worked. And so I use them. So now I'm trying to figure out how to actually just document that in a way that makes sense to people. And what concerns me is that it's really hard to tell people how to do that if they haven't read all those books and da 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 da. Basically I have to write a book, and I started writing one, and then I just, I haven't even had time to write the documentation, let alone a damn book. I'm just really busy.
Okay, let's get one more question. So we're gonna get one more question, that's gonna be the end of round one. We're gonna vote who we think won this match or won this round.
Is that it already?
Well, we got a short break for
we're gonna take a
for a little refreshments over here after this one question, and you can have your hand raised up. Can we?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd our mic go?
Hold on a sec, Hal.
I've evaluated a lot of several frameworks, and I haven't found one that solves the problems. I write many different types of applications, and I can't find a single framework that is the magic bullet for all my applications. I'm wondering, has Hal standardized on a framework? And if so, which one is he using, and how did he come to that decision?
Tell us, Hal. Do you use a framework for everything you build? One framework? Have you? We're looking for that silver bullet.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't think that there are true silver bullets. I mean, I think any intelligent person would tell you that. But I will also say that for about 80% of what I do, something like Fusebox or Mach 2 works very nicely. There are occasions where I will step out of the framework either because I have a tiny job or because the job has very special requirements. But 80% of my jobs don't have those special requirements.
Hal, can I just ask, by step out of the framework, do you mean build an entire application without the framework, or do you mean modify the framework itself?
No, I will, in a situation like that, I will oftentimes completely step out of the framework.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to attain that great state where I can become a master programmer simply by disregarding all of the intelligence of people that have gone before me, as you have. But it's that kind of greatness escapes me. See, I rely on the intelligence.
We got another question here.
Hal, Simon, let's say you're a government entity and you have a four-year project, upwards of 35, 40 developers, maybe five tech leads, two PMs. Are frameworks there because there's no way to write the code in a way that accounting for the turnover, that the different developers will come in and off the project over the years, there's no way for them to pick up where the other ones left off? Or is there a way to use Cold Fusion code in a way that would basically leave it in a state that someone could come in and pick it up and pick up where someone left off without a framework? Being your largest client, the government, Cold Fusion, right, frameworks or no frameworks.
Hal, since you can't hear, I'm going to answer it, and then I'm going to repeat the question and let you again.
That sounds good.
You should have showed up, you big chicken. All right. the question, Hal, was, suppose you're a large government agency. You've got a four-year project. You've got oodles and oodles of developers and PMs and lots and lots of people working on this. Is the reason that frameworks are there, is that to address those, that type of that scenario, the needs in a scenario like that, and is a framework required in a scenario like that? I'm just going to answer really simply, in 10 seconds, to say, that when I spent 2 years in London building something with 100 developers under me, I used my methodology for doing it. The developers found it ridiculously easy to use. They had started with Mach 2. Sorry, Hal, they changed their mind. They decided to move over to a custom version of Fusebox. Didn't work for them either. They were extraordinarily happy with the way I did things because it was all about doing things that make common sense. It really is just a common sense thing. Once you understand why it is that you do the things the way you do, it is common sense. Like I said, I'm just having a hard time finding a way to convey that in documentation. But I would say that you can certainly work in environments with, 100 developers is a lot. I don't know how.
Yeah, you can use Notepad to write all your code, too. But is it a good idea?
Hey, Hal, man, when I started with Cold Fusion, that's all we had. And, we liked it.
I understand it.
You
it's
too.
Just that some of us have moved beyond that, Simon. I want to tell you a story about a company that I asked to go and work for. It's a company called Toys R Us. And it was a company in about the year 2000. And I had just finished Rooms to Go. It was a big success. And they called me. They wanted me to come up there and head the team. So I talked with their CTO for about an hour and a half on the phone. And I asked them, do you use any framework? Do you have any methodology? Do you have any standards? And he told me, how we believe in hiring the best developers and just getting out of their way. And at the time, I thought, wow, that's a very progressive thing. It's something that you might say nowadays, Simon. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is a really bad idea. What if the FAA, develop or adopted this practice? We'll hire the best pilots and get out of their way. I'd get out of their way, too. And I think that we all know what happened to the Toys R Us. There was a complete meltdown. It gave Cold Fusion a huge black eye and really, really retarded the growth of the language and adoption of the language for years. Why? Because we had a bunch of really smart Cold Fusion programmers working on their own, working to no standard. And what what you see is it's not enough to put a bunch of smart people in a room. You know what? After a certain threshold, we're all smart people.
but most projects fail. So if you want to roll the dice and live dangerously like Simon, by all means, go out there and roll your own, or do it Monday, you do it one way, and Tuesday you do it the next, and you wrap it up in this secret sauce that you promised to reveal to people. But if you want a successful development, go with something that's proven. Go with something that's produced some of the largest applications that have been written for the web.
Hal, I'll tell you one thing. There's cardinal rule number one with my methodology is there is absolutely no such thing as too much planning. And I'll bet you any amount of money that that failure had absolutely nothing to do with using a framework or not using a framework. It was a problem of them not communicating and not planning enough before they built. They had a 97-server cluster and they, a farm, and they were not, really thinking about how to deal with that level of transactional processing.
Maybe right? Because they were too involved in thinking about the basic plumbing stuff.
Maybe, but they should have planned more. I bet you that.
You won't hear any argument from me.
Well, that's
what
a
I am suggesting is that.
Jesus. Are you
well,
sure?
Every once in a while you do say something sensible, unlike your methodology. I mean, I've heard about these secret sauces. Fig Leaf used to say this every year. Well, we have the secret methodology that we're going to reveal.
I mean, I think
I've
they still do.
For like, I probably do. And at the last frameworks, I was supposed to debate with the folks from Fig Leaf, but unfortunately, they didn't find time to make it either.
Kind of like somebody else we know.
I'm here, and it's only virtual.
I'm just teasing you.
But I mean, seriously, people's careers are on the line. And I think it's irresponsible to say somebody, no, just go off on your own. That's like saying, just burn that design pattern book. You don't need that stuff. You know, Simon, I used to be a woodworker. And as a woodworker, one of the first things that you do is you learn about woodworking joints. And you learn which joints are applicable in which situations, in what context.
Can you speak
very
up, Hal?
Similar to, I was saying that you learn about woodworking joints. And you learn which ones are applicable in which context. Well, that's very similar to design patterns. And then one level of abstraction up from design patterns are frameworks, where the frameworks incorporate design patterns in such a way that you're building on a solid foundation. So you have a team of 100 or 200 developers, and you're not using a framework? Why?
Hal, before, I think we are taking a break soon, just a break.
All right.
But before we do, no, I should state for the record, I'm also not a fan whatsoever of design patterns. Maybe you ought to try coming to one of my sessions rather than debating.
That'll be round two.
Yeah. I'm not a big design pattern fan.
Yeah, Simon, there was a...
And know that. We've talked about
a Peanuts cartoon. There was a Peanuts cartoon years ago where Lucy is teaching Linus all of these crazy things on a nature walk. You know, she's saying, the reason that moss doesn't grow on the south side of the trees is the bears eat it off. And Peanuts is looking at this thing, and he says, it's going to take Linus twice as long to go through school because he's going to have to unlearn all that Lucy taught him. And when I hear you talk like that, I don't like design patterns. I don't like frameworks. I go like, please, folks, don't listen to this guy, or else you're going to have to take twice as long to unlearn. The idea that you wouldn't...
Hal, you'll be happy to know that I'm the one teaching your design pattern session tomorrow at exactly 1:30 here at the conference.
Oh, help. The pain.
I might not be a fan, but I do know all
of
them. That's all right.
On that note, ding, 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 round one is over.
Hal, we're going to take a break.
We're going to take a short break.
You're not going anywhere, are you, Hal? You don't have, there's not a poker, you're not missing a poker game or anything right now, right?
Does he have a beer?
No.
He does need a beer.
So right now we're going to judge right now. We have to, you're the judge and jury. And we will need to see who won round one. I know it's up in the air, 50-50 to me, so, okay.
Oh, Hal, everybody's hand went up for me.
Everybody raise
Sorry, you're not
okay,
here to see it.
Everybody raise your hand. think Simon won this round. I don't know. Okay.
What are they voting for you for?
How many people think Hal won this round? Hal's the lead round one. I'm not going to be the ring girl today, sorry, but...
Hey, Liz, wait a minute.
We won't go there. That's in the pool later. But no, right now we got, please don't everybody rush up. We got some popcorn, some cotton candy up over to the left, a little refreshment.
Hey, Hal?
And,
yes, sir.
We'll get back to round two in about 5 minutes.
All right, before round two, we're all going to go grab popcorn and beers and sodas and things. You can either hold tight and I'll mute you, or if you'd like to sing. Or oh, only well, no, but there's a bar across there if people want to go. Oh, and cotton candy. Wow. All right. I'll go ahead and try. Here, okay. Try talking.
What time are we going to resume?
You know what? I'll leave you on.
What time do you
want to
resume?
As much as you want.
5 minutes. Best, okay?
Oh, actually doing good. Simon, what time are we going to resume?
It's very interesting.
What's that, Hal?
What time are we going to start back up?
We're going to take about a 5 or 6 minute break, so go have a cigarette, Hal, because I know you're dying for one.
No, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
I hope you're near a door. I'm stepping out right now.
All right, bud. I'll see you in a bit.
Is this more propaganda?
No. I just thought it was only fair to, you know, I made fun of you, and I should make some fun of myself.
By the way, how's that project down in Florida going?
Very well. I got two great programmers who joined me on Monday, Brian Kotek and Mike Britton. And okay, so that's you.
Good.
That's you. And that, well, yeah. I'll tell you, that necklace cost me a pretty penny.
That sound like it's better with short hair.
With Mike Hill. Hal, they say you look better with short hair.
You must not be working that hard on this project. God. Did you find the time to do this?
What's that?
Florida's good to us.
Yeah. That's right, man. That's right. The Florida sun has done wonders for your complexion. Gee, Hal, I hardly recognize you.
I know. The only problem is it's hard to go out to eat now. I get swarmed by admirers. Simon, I was in a poker game one time in Atlanta, and I was at a fellow's house, and I introduced myself, and one of the guys hopped up from the table and shook my hand and said, I'm a real fan of yours. And I thought, man, I'm not that good of a poker player. Of course, he was a fuse box guy.
Okay, well, we're about to begin round two. This is going to be a no-holds-barred, fisticuffs battle right now, where each of them are going to ask each other questions and setting each other up for failure. So,
you hear that, Hal?
That we're each going to ask each other questions, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Are you okay with that, Hal?
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and begin round one by... Simon asking how.
All right. First of all, I would definitely like Hal to, tell me, honestly, why is it, right? And again, I already stated for the record, I'm not saying this is really the fault of frameworks. I'm saying this is a kind of a cause and effect. It's a symptom of frameworks. Why is it that I did see, and do see to this day, a lot of people who, while they were using frameworks and having never worked in any other environment, I mean, why should I feel good about telling people that they should use frameworks when I meet people that, you know, really haven't learned how to do what I would really call the, you know, fundamental programming skills in Cold Fusion? Because the framework hid it from them.
Well, again, I don't see that there's any cause and effect there. I teach Java, and I meet a lot of Java programmers, and I'll tell you that most Java programmers are not very good programmers.
I agree.
But should I therefore tell people, hey, you know, you really shouldn't use Java, because I've met a lot of bad Java programmers. Well, I've met a lot of bad Cold Fusion programmers, and of course the barrier to entry in Cold Fusion is lower than it is in something like Java or C Sharp.
I think
that the reason that you see bad code is that...
What I'm talking about is the, you know, the kind of thing that when I see somebody who says, I've been using, I'll just use Fusebox as the example. I'm sorry, Jeff, and Sean. Is Sean still here? You know, if I meet somebody who's been using Fusebox for a year and they don't understand like real just fundamental skills, I mean, in the Java world, I mean, what you're describing are people who just need to learn how to think better. You know, there are a lot of really bad Java developers. There are a lot of really bad Java developers. But you're not really suggesting that a framework, you know, I mean, there's no Java framework that's going to make them a better developer. Or even
not the job of a framework.
As a matter of fact, even encouraging them to be a better developer.
I think that there are Java frameworks that encourage you to be a better developer. I taught a class to Cold Fusion programmers, this was years ago, on Fusebox, using Fusebox with Model View Controller. And I was asked to come back there, I don't know, 3 or 4 months later. And it turned out that the new people that I was teaching were Java programmers. And I said, why am I teaching you Cold Fusion? And they said, well, you know, we had bid a job internally and we slotted so much time and so much money for it. And these Cold Fusion programmers that you taught did the job in about a third of the time and for about a quarter of the money. And they said, they said, you know, we've all heard about MVC and all that, but honestly, we haven't used it very much. And so we'd like to learn what they learned.
Right. But I mean, hell, in all honesty,
you know, so
these are fundamental skills that, quite honestly, if you're not using a framework and you try to be a Cold Fusion developer for a year, you'll be fired within 3 months if you don't develop these skills. I mean, I'm talking about simple flow of control kind of stuff. Uh-oh.
Well, I would totally agree with you.
Joe's got a question. We're in trouble. Go on. Go. You can go ahead and respond, and we'll get a microphone out to Joe, wherever that microphone went. Go ahead, Al.
I totally agree with you, Simon, that these skills are very, very important. But I don't think it's the job of a framework to teach you the fundamentals of anything.
It doesn't make it necessary to learn those skills, does it?
I think it absolutely does. I do not see how you could be a good Fusebox programmer, a good Model Blue programmer, a good Mach 2 programmer, if you don't have some pretty decent skills.
Okay. Joe, you want to go ahead? We got a question from Joe Reinhardt.
Mr. Reinhardt?
The Joe Reinhardt.
No, just Joe Reinhardt. No Mr. or anything like that. Yeah, actually, Hal just summed it up very well, but I've been in here for most of the debate, and I'm really kind of puzzled as to how something like Fusebox actually crutches developers. I don't see how Fusebox is going to stand in for you in place of CFQuery and CFIF and basic programming constructs. How does Fusebox even act as a crutch or as a replacement for things like that?
I don't know, but I had programmers show up for class that didn't understand how to create a hyperlink with URL parameters on it and how to react to those on an action page. I mean, and who told me? I've been doing Fusebox development for a year. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking? They never heard of the URL scope.
Well, that's probably something way outside of the scope of Fusebox then. And the other thing that's really puzzled me throughout this debate is this concept of frameworks versus non-frameworks, where we're treating frameworks as just this all-encompassing concept that solves all of your problems. When in reality, there's a number of different types of frameworks that can solve different problems very specifically.
That's right.
And you can't really make a debate between use a framework to solve everything or use no frameworks and do everything yourself.
I can't. Can you hear that, Hal?
No.
That's okay. Joe is saying that it's not really such a cut and dry black and white kind of a thing, that there are lots of frameworks out there and lots of things that solve certain needs. I think is really a good way to summarize that, right? Oh, God, Joe. No, I mean, what I would say is, yeah, and like everybody in this room has time to learn all like 90,000, you know, how many frameworks are there right now? I lose track of ColdFusion frameworks. How many are there now? Six or seven? I bet they're more than that, actually. I bet they're about 10, right? I mean, there's certain frameworks that make certain things easier and da-da-da. But, I mean, we can't learn all of them. And I don't like the idea of becoming an expert in a framework. That makes you worth a lot of money to people who have, you know, or to companies that have really committed themselves to that framework. I work on projects all the time. I've worked on many projects that, yes, it was Fusebox. I've worked in Mach 2 environments. I've worked in Model Glue environments. I've encountered a bunch of other things out there. And I'm fine in all of them. You know, you take a Model Glue developer and go do something in the environment using some other framework, and not to say that they can't, but there's going to be a big ramp-up time. I mean, they're going to have to learn stuff.
Of course there is. Just the same way as if you took a Java programmer and asked them to write in ColdFusion, or ColdFusion and asked them to write in Perl. Or your argument succeeds too well, Simon, because what it says is, let's all be dilettantes. Let's not be experts at anything. Let's just try a little of this and a little of that.
No, I
and the reason
all the
companies invest money in frameworks, that's yeah, hello. That's going to get you to first base. You know, how are you going to build big, successful projects? Not by being good at CFML. The skills that we're talking about are well beyond skill in ColdFusion.
Yeah, that's fair.
And yes, I think that frameworks are absolutely essential. The reason when I was telling you about this Toys R Us thing.
What's that, Hal?
The reason that I was mentioning this Toys R Us thing is that the reason that I declined to work on that job was that anyone who is reckless enough to take on a job of that size without a framework, I had no confidence in what other kind of bad decisions they might be making.
I would certainly take on a job that size without a framework.
Well, God bless you. And I think we saw what happened. You know,
I have taken on jobs that size and larger without using frameworks.
I mean, you can do anything. But why? You know, the point is how to be the most efficient, to be the most productive, to be a good developer, to add value. This is why companies adopt one language over another. It's not that one's necessarily better than another, but it's that there's a reason that great third basemen make more and are more valuable to their teams than somebody who can play all the positions in the infield. It's because they're specialized. It's because they're experts. You know, Bill Gates one time said that a great programmer was at least 10 times as productive. And I would say that somebody who's expert at something going to be at least 10 times as productive as somebody who's a dilettante.
Well, we got another question, Hal.
Simon, I got a quick question, and yeah. This is kind of a loaded one. You talked about your user object for the pet market application earlier and how it's a good example of code reuse. And if I wanted to use that in one of my applications, what would I have to do?
Repeat that one more time.
If I wanted to use your user object from your pet market application in one of my applications, what would I have to do?
You would copy that CFC into wherever you're storing CFCs in the. Hal, the question was if somebody wanted to use the user object in my pet market application, in another application, what would you do? In that particular application, I did implement something that I wouldn't say I do it 100% of the time, but I certainly oftentimes to make my life simpler. Some things I do for no other reason than it makes my life simpler. So one thing I do is I do extend a base object with a lot of the objects I create. So you would copy that base object, right? You'd never have to touch it or open it, right? You would copy that user object only because it's using it, right? So you copy that user CFC into that application, wherever your CFCs are stored, and you would copy the custom tag that presents all of the reusable UI interfaces to that object into your application wherever it exists. Open up that CFC, change the SQL so that it actually points at whatever, you know, tables you're using. You don't worry about the data source because that gets passed into the object. You would then just change the HTML in the tag.
And then what about object factory? I noticed that's something that I need to pass to the user object. Where do I get that from?
You would get them from that factory, yeah. I tend to use factories quite a bit. Again, that's one of the few things I've found from the design pattern world that does make my life easier.
But where do I get the object factory from? Do I have to bring that into my project too?
You would copy that, yeah. Or write your own.
So in order to use,
don't use one.
So to use your user object, I've got to copy in three other CFCs just to support my use of it.
No, you wouldn't have to copy the factory. I would just recommend doing it because it does make your life easier. You wouldn't have to copy the base object. All it would mean is writing a get and set for each of the... That's the only benefit it's really giving you. If you want to write those methods, which are, you know, it's just a tedious writing those, you know, probably about, well, for that object, probably about, 15 methods that are just get this, get set this. I mean, there's nothing to them. Then you would just copy the user object.
Okay. Well,
you would copy that one CFC.
My point here is that in looking at your code, and especially, this is especially pertinent to me because this is model code. This isn't even the controller code that we're talking about with the frameworks we're talking about right now. Yeah. This is basically a framework. You've got a framework for building objects. And you can call it a methodology, but if I've got three classes that I've got to either create on my own or copy into my project in order to use one of your objects, that's a framework.
No, it's not a framework. It's a methodology. You're asking me for using a specific example. How would you use things from that application? To be honest with you, the way I build things, I don't use a factory in everything I build. I don't use a base object in everything I build. I do.
That
take
was the
objects,
pet market framework. The other applications
right.
have their frameworks.
I see.
Yeah, I don't do that. There's a huge difference between frameworks and methodologies. A lot of people think that if you reuse code, you're using a framework. And quite honestly, these are people who haven't really thought much about, you know, what they're saying. Frameworks have there's a really big difference between, you know, using a framework and not using one. That I always like to distinguish for people, which is there is a sense of central control when you use a framework. I don't believe
like,
in central
like a base
control.
Class that you extend all objects with.
There isn't any central control in anything I do. Central control meaning something that coordinates interaction between what you've coded. I code intelligent objects. I model my domain and my objects interact with each other, and there is nothing facilitating that. The objects are aware of how to interact with each other. That's the way I build applications. It uses a theory called object think, which is why I don't like design patterns. The fact that there are some files that I find, you know, very useful to reuse, I could certainly use the exact same methodology and use none of those files, and I would still be doing things the exact same way. That's just one specific implementation that I did happen to release for CFDJ. But the approach to development is radically different than people who rely on something to give them central control. Radically different. It's also, actually, that idea of object think, as opposed to the design patterns and the set weighted, that's why I think most Java developers don't know what the hell they're doing. They all say they're object-oriented developers, and they're just developers who use objects. There's nothing object-oriented about anything that they do.
Okay. So your user object model's a user, and it's got methods in it like load user and authenticate.
Yeah.
And I don't know many people that are able to just cut themselves a license for something.
Able to do what?
Authenticate themselves. That doesn't really sound like something a user can do by itself.
Yeah, that, but...
No, that's in the user.
Well, one thing you do have to understand is that what that was a sample of kind of how the methodology, you know, what kind of code base results in the methodology. I was working with a pre-existing application, a pre-existing database and database structure, and I just had to find a way to take the existing code, and since I didn't get paid to do it, as quick as, you know, it's not like somebody said, hey, here's $1,000, go write this better. You know, I mean, you know, I spent like 10 hours of my free time trying to show people how you would take this existing chunk of code, an existing database, and reorganize it and restructure it in a way that, you know, I would do in you know, the way I build applications. Which it was at that point that I actually even gave any sort of a name to that methodology, you know, that approach that I do use all the time. But it was merely just to illustrate, you know, the resulting code base is easier to maintain. And I bet anything that anybody who looks at, if you download every single pet market on that website, and you download the original Macromedia, I hazard to guess nobody will say that the way I built that application is not easier to maintain and follow than any of the ones out there. If you were to look at every single one, somebody who's an expert in Model Glue might say that the Model Glue version was easier for them. Somebody who's an expert in Fusebox might be. But look at every single one and tell me which one, no matter, if you're an expert of none of those specific, which one is actually easier to follow? And it's, I don't
Which proves absolutely nothing.
Yeah, easier to follow.
The point is to become an expert, Simon. Not can we take somebody who knows nothing, show them a bunch of code, and see which one makes sense to the dumbest among us.
Hell, I build applications I build applications so that
really
people
damning
who just
with
know
faint
Cold
phrase.
Fusion can maintain them. I
well,
don't
no,
need
you're
to
talking
know
about
anything
objects.
But Cold Fusion to maintain my apps. As a matter of fact,
you're talking about object technology. I studied at Palo Alto Research Center, and I can tell you that what you're talking about is not object-oriented thinking. If
it
you've
is.
Got objects that know the context that they're being used in, if you don't have a controller that's mediating between the view and the model, then what you have is very tight coupling between view and model, which is not good object-oriented design. Now, it may be Simon design, and that may work fine for you, and I have no problem with you doing it. Don't call it object-oriented programming.
Hal, I've got a book I'm going to have to send you in the mail.
Oh, okay.
I mean, actually, I really have to disagree with you on that one, fundamentally. I don't think there's anything object-oriented about having a controller. Go ahead.
That's just staggering.
Sorry, that last one made me twitch a bit.
Well, it's a very different way to think. But Joe's got something to say.
Yeah, then the people who actually created object orientation.
Well, no, they actually didn't agree with that line of thought.
Simon.
Oh, really? Alan Kay was the one who developed Smalltalk.
Hold on, Hal. I know you want to get. I know you're dying to dig into me, but Joe's trying to ask a question. Hold on one second.
All right, I'll defer to Joe.
If you could especially repeat this to Hal, since he can't quite hear what I'm saying. We were talking about a tactile example of which specific pet market implementation was easiest to both understand and maintain. My vote is actually for the Mach 2 version. Because I took the Mach 2 version, stripped the model out, and I rewrote the Model Glue version in about 45 minutes using a few regular expressions. So for something that is both modular and easier to reuse, having this model detached through something like a controller layer, which is apparently unnecessary, was actually a very easy way to make modular, understandable, reusable code. So thanks for the great code, Hal.
Hal, you hear that?
No, I didn't, but I'm sure if Joe said it, it's right.
Joe liked your Mach 2 app.
Oh. A man of exquisite taste.
No, actually, I mean, I read that code. I looked at that code, the Mach 2 thing that Hal and Ben.
Matt and Ben.
And Matt, yeah, all contributed to. And actually, yes, I mean, I was surprised. I actually liked that version of it more than any of the other framework applications from a maintenance point of view. I agree with you. I thought that was better than any of the other framework implementations from a, if you don't know anything coming into it, can you maintain this point of view? I still would argue that it's more difficult for somebody to follow. You got to remember, I do things as radical as, oh, I don't know, let interns maintain code sometimes. I mean, people who really, once it's built, I really want it to be very easy to follow, as long as you just understand the syntax. That easy. And the framework, quite honestly, and this is not really the fault of the framework, a lot of people, when they see that code base, or the, just something that's tying interaction together, it really overwhelms them. It does. And I don't like that. Personally.
It's a one-time cost, huh?
It's a what?
It's a one-time cost.
Per framework.
Learning a framework.
Per framework. Right.
Yeah. But how many frameworks do you need to learn?
Right.
You don't need to be an expert at every framework. And because many of the frameworks
are built
on...
Well, you do if you want to be able to go into any environment.
But most people, Simon, don't need to drop into any environment.
This is why companies make decisions about languages that they're going to use, about tools that they'll use, about frameworks that they'll use. It's so that we can optimize the productive use of technology, and we can get as much bang for our buck as possible.
Right.
If the goal is to be a generalist and to do anything in any language, well, then maybe your, you know, so-called methodology is appropriate. But if your goal is to become an expert developer, then eschewing the wisdom of people who have really laid down the groundwork for all that we're doing today and acting as if they have nothing to teach you by saying, well, I don't use any design patterns, I don't use frameworks. I'm sorry, dude, that's just foolishness.
Well, I will respond to that just to state that, you know, after spending many years being a fan of design patterns and a fan of object-oriented programming, and nobody was happier than I was when CFCs got introduced to CF. I thought that was that has been the most radical and most, you know, the greatest thing to happen to Cold Fusion since the CF query tag. You know, that said, and I was a really big fan of a lot, you know, the Gang of Four and yada, yada, yada. About 2 or 3 years ago, I started reading a lot of object think theory, which is by and large written by the guys who originally really came up with this idea of object-oriented programming, long before the Gang of Four. I mean, this was before that. They were just writing theory when there was nothing that supported that kind of stuff. And I liked the way they approached things much, much more. And I build everything on what they've said. It's not that I'm not going
to... Wait. I'd like to hear these great thinkers, because I'm fairly familiar with some of the pioneers of object-oriented thinking, so maybe we know some of the same people.
Probably.
So who are these people?
I've read quite a bit of Parnas. Dr. Hey. Parnas, you familiar with him?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I've read quite a bit of what he's written. I read a lot of what the pioneers Kent Beck and Cunningham wrote. The guys who originally were writing stuff about extreme programming before they started getting.
Sure, these guys are small talkers. I knew them when they were in the small talk world. But I can promise you that the kind of things that you're espousing, they would have no trek with.
Yeah,
the idea
none
that
of them,
your
none
objects
of them
just
design.
Get.
Go ahead, Hal.
The idea that, I mean, first of all, Kent Beck was the guy who wrote the JUnit framework for doing testing. So the idea that he's against frameworks would be just kind of silly.
Yeah, but I would say that contribution that he made really wasn't in line with the papers that he's written. From a best practices, the way people should approach modeling their applications point of view, that had nothing to do with that. That was a testing framework. That's not an application.
Beck was the fellow who came up
with
applications. Kent Beck came up with CRC cards, which are used in object modeling. We're using them on this application that I'm doing. I don't know where you're getting your information from, but this idea that objects just live and can communicate freely, you know, this is really an example of worst practices, where we have tight coupling between domain layers.
This is not good. I got a lot of clients that would disagree with you, Hal.
No.
You know, we got some questions.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, the main issue I have with frameworks actually is you send data to this framework and you don't know where it goes. You know, if you have an error, so you send it a string, all of a sudden it comes back as zero or something like that. You have to go through lots and lots of code written by people that may have a lot more Cold Fusion experience than yourself. I mean, you may be, you know, writing code for your 10th year or something like that, and you have to go through 15, 20 templates to figure out what is going on. And to be able to debug that is a huge issue. And that's, you know, per framework. On top of, you know, if you need to customize how a query string is done or something like that, you have to go through and you have to learn you have to become intimate, essentially, with that framework to be able to modify that code and to be able to figure out what's going on.
Do you not unit test?
Hal?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The question was, we've got somebody in the audience who, you know, has had experiences with frameworks where, you know, they find that, you know, you pass data into that framework and it comes out the wrong way, or you don't know what's happening in there, and it, you know, it's not what you would expect to happen, and they have to go through scores of templates to figure out, to trace what's happened to that data, you know, just in order to get at the heart of it, and they have to do this for every given framework that they use. We have some people who've had a bad experience. Believe it or not, a few people have had bad experiences with frameworks.
I'm confident that that's true, but you know what they say, anecdotes are not data. I think the overwhelming testimony of people who have used frameworks is that they make development easier. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the guy's bad experience, and I obviously I don't know exactly what he ran into. And I will absolutely agree that there is a cost to learning a framework, and it can be frustrating until you've really mastered the framework. It is definitely harder than the sort of naive, just, you know, wiring two ColdFusion templates together and throwing a CFC in there with a custom tag. But my argument is that there's a great payoff down the road for it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. We got another question here. Hold on.
I hope my voice is up to this. I think what I wanted to start with was this fundamental story that everyone got in comp sci of the instructor who started every semester saying, how many people have ever used a punch card? And when nobody raised their hands, would say, let's go back to the beginning. The class was like Java. You know, it wasn't about punch cards. And fundamentally, with or without a framework, you don't know how to use a code or a language until you learn what you can about it. You might understand the URL scope, but the CGI scope, you know, I've been programming since CGI was the only way to go, so I sort of had a foot in the door with the CGI scope, but what about the people who started yesterday or a year ago when, you know, CGI? I don't think anyone's written a CGI in a while. Has anyone written a CGI in a while? Thank you.
No, not in a while.
But it's not whether or not you have a framework that makes you a good programmer. It's really taking the time to get into it and learn what it does. And you know, if your company's not willing to pay for that and you don't have someone who knows that already and can teach you, then yes, the company should pay for that. So that was kind of, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement of...
Okay. Hold on, Hal, we have a whole nother debate going on now.
Directed towards Hal's statement that learning a methodology is a one-time cost. It's not a one-time cost for several reasons. One, it's not a one-time cost for the developer who, as Hal even said, it only uses a framework for maybe 80% of his projects. But then he also stated that he uses this one or that one for 80% of his projects. So now he's got two frameworks. So that's a two-time cost. Plus, then there's the other 20% of his projects where he doesn't use a framework, or can't use a framework, or uses this one, or that one. And so it's a multiple time cost. And that's for the developer. Now, if you look at from the employer's point of view, not only does the employer train this developer to use this one particular framework, but then when that developer leaves or is fired or whatever, now they've got to find another developer. Now, not only do they have to find a developer who knows ColdFusion, which is a smaller subset of software programmers, but now they're forced to find a programmer in the ColdFusion subset that is in the Fusebox subset. So now they're down from 100% down to 20% down to 2%. So now they've got this tiny little pool that they have to pull from somewhere else where someone has a job that they're doing Fusebox programming, take that away from another company, which means they're going to have to pay them more, they have to pay them specialized wages, they have to pay more every time it happens. And that's fine for the developer in that situation, but if you're a really good programmer, you can get those wages anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure Simon doesn't work for minimum wage.
It's been a while.
Really good, really good programming is better than really good programming, plus all these other things, when you look at the long-term cost for the ColdFusion developer and the ColdFusion company,
the company that's using ColdFusion. I think that is the argument here, Hal, is that, you know, I mean, isn't just a really good programmer worth more than a really good, you know, isn't it make more sense to just become a really good programmer than to become a really good programmer who knows a framework? Because you're still stuck to that one framework, right? I think that's kind of the point of what's being discussed in the audience.
I would, if I was a pretty good carpenter, but I found that I was a better carpenter with tools than without them.
Were you a better carpenter than you are a developer?
Maybe. But I was definitely better with tools.
Why'd you stop?
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that.
I'll admit, am I being heard? Okay.
Hold on one second. Wow.
I have a huge bias. I'm a frameworks guy, so that's just off my chest. But you seem to be being a little bit inconsistent, Simon, because on the one hand you're saying frameworks are too complicated for people to understand. Therefore, what we need is people just to be completely brilliant and come up with their own way of doing things from scratch. My story is this. I started doing Fusebox programming right off the bat. I joined a firm that was already using Fusebox. I didn't know ColdFusion at all. And I was a terrible ColdFusion programmer at the beginning. And the reason for this was because I was a beginner. And throughout years of working with ColdFusion, I became much, much, much better. And Fusebox never stood in the way of that. It provided a constant, framework in which I could create my code without having to worry about things like flow control. And this is like, you know, for the first 3 years or something, it was Fusebox 2. Now, for people who didn't ever use Fusebox 2, basically Fusebox 2, you know, didn't really have any core files that were required. It was instead kind of almost like, you might say, a methodology for structuring your code.
I wouldn't call it that, but...
Well, it was a framework.
It was a framework.
It was a framework without any core files. And, but what it provided was discipline. And it provided discipline without standing in the way of me learning all the various things I needed to know about the language. And I think that it's like I said, it's a little bit preposterous to, on the one hand, say, you know, it's too hard for all these people to learn all these frameworks. It's too difficult. I'm in the process right now of learning how to do object-oriented programming, and as a result of that, I'm probably going to look into Mach 2 or Model Glue, and I'm sure at the very beginning I'm going to be intimidated. Like, I was at the Fusebox and Frameworks conference last September, and I was at a Birds of a Feather, an impromptu Birds of a Feather, by some people who are in the back of this room who are talking about Cold Spring, and it blew my mind. I had no idea what they were talking about. But I think what they're doing is amazing. Mike, I guess my question is this, because somebody said, what's your question? My question is this. Should we assume the developers are either too stupid to understand a framework, or brilliant enough that they shouldn't need one? Because these are the two ideas that you've been suggesting when you talk about frameworks.
Should we assume that they're one or the other?
Because what you're saying is they're too. You've said this, that frameworks are too confusing to people when they see them. But on the other hand, you've said that
they're too confusing for people who don't know them, who don't know that exact framework. Yes.
But what you've said is that, yeah, that it's too confusing for people who don't know them, but on the other hand, that the really good thing is just to have a really, really, really intelligent or brilliant developer. It seems inconsistent, because on the one hand you're saying people don't have the capacity. On the other hand, you're saying people need to have this very high level of capacity.
No, I never said that people don't have the capacity. They certainly have the capacity. I just said that frameworks don't encourage you to realize that capacity. I said encourage. I didn't say they inhibit or prohibit or prevent or anything like that. They just don't encourage it before people get up in arms. I'm still not quite sure what the question is. I mean, I think people should be better developers, whether they use frameworks or not. That's kind of a no. Don't be smart.
There's an interesting question out there. You know, I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really at the core of things, you don't have to be. I mean, you're mistaking that. You don't have to be smart to learn a framework. It's like the SATs. You memorize a lot of words and you can regurgitate them. I mean, if you learn the framework, you know how the framework works and you can use the framework. That's not even a question of intelligence. And using the methodology isn't a question of intelligence. Whoa, jeez.
Sorry.
God, Al.
I react that way after hearing just unmitigated bullshit.
I'm glad you're still with us. No, I mean it's you don't have to be intelligent to do any of these things, really. I do encourage people to think outside the box a lot more. You know, in terms of, you know, use a methodology, not a framework.
Which box are you talking about?
And I think Hal does as well, to be honest with you. Hal doesn't encourage people not to think. Right, Hal?
I certainly hope I don't.
That yet. Okay.
No, I haven't hung around with you that long.
Boy. This isn't a question of intelligence. It's for me, it's more a question of whether or not people are taking an intelligent approach to the way they develop. And that's not a question of intelligence. You could give me anybody on the planet. They could do what I do. They could do what, they could use any framework out there, right? The difference is, to use a specific framework, you have to learn that framework and then go do it. To do what I do, you have to understand why I approach things the way I approach them. In terms of if you want to learn that methodology, you have to kind of model what you're going to do the way I model it and understand how that would be implemented. But it's not a question of intelligence in any way, shape, or form. Certainly not. I'm not
Simon,
saying both these developers
you're
are
avoiding
stupid.
Sean.
Right? Uh-oh, Sean. Hal, I might call Hal stupid, but I wouldn't call a ColdFusion developer stupid in general. Right, Hal?
I might agree with you.
Yeah. Hold on. Sean Corfield's got a question or a statement. He's probably going to stick me with something sharp.
It's not a question. I have been keeping out of this for the most part because I don't want to upset too many people. However,
you won't upset me.
Simon, you are on record as saying that you consider yourself an above-average developer. You are not the average developer, you said in print.
Yeah.
And you have said that you only hire people who are not the average developer. You're on record
as
saying
that
in print. Yes, you are. And so let's look at an
example
of what you consider to be best practice. Let's look at your simple, sensible assembly methodology version of PetMarket.
Right.
Let's open up application.cfm and find code that is not thread safe, that does not initialize the application correctly. Hang on. And then let's look at some other aspects of it. Let's look at base object, which in your magazine article you said you use a variation of in nearly every application you write. And then you have stood up here today and said you don't use it in all your applications. So first of all, what you've got is a structure in your application that may or may not be there. And if it is, it's going to be different in every application you've written, by your own words.
Yes.
So this means people coming to your code may or may not find this common base object. And if they do, they cannot rely on it being the same in every application.
Correct.
So what this means is that anyone coming to maintain your code has to go through it and figure out exactly which variation you've written in this particular application, because it's going to be different to every application you've written. Compare this with frameworks. If you open up a Mark II application, you are guaranteed that certain APIs are there in every Mark II application. The same is true of Fusebox. The same is true of Model Glue.
Right.
So someone who comes in new, who perhaps doesn't know that framework, can pick it up once, open up any application written with that framework, know how it works. Someone comes into your company, they have to learn your methodology,
yep,
for a start, which has very little published documentation, so they can't get books on it. There is no community around it.
Has none.
Exactly. And then when they crack open each application, they're going to find that every application is different.
Right.
So they have to learn the code over and over and over again for every single application you've written by your own words.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on that?
Sure. I have no problem commenting on that. No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. There are files that I do like to reuse pretty frequently because I do find they save me time. And those files I don't typically modify. Typically. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I do it as it suits my needs. I build the application and, you know, according to the specs, and I don't always reuse the same components. I don't always have the same objects. It all depends on the application. In terms of, you know, me changing the code, yeah, I mean, I don't, what's wrong with that? I mean, there are no core files in what I do. Do they have to learn the method? I mean, first of all, I should state, you know, immediately, no, everybody I hire does not have to be an above-average developer. And I only say that I consider myself an above-average developer because I've been doing ColdVision development for 11 years, and it's been out for 11 years. So, God, I mean, if I'm not an above-average ColdVision developer, there's something wrong with me. I mean, it's not about me being smarter or anything like that. I mean, I've done it, you know. I mean, you know, I challenge anybody in here to tell me they've worked on more projects than I have. I mean, you know, some of you might have, but it's going to be a very small number of you if that's the case at all. I mean, it's just done it a lot. And I've done a lot of, I've been in a lot of environments where I've been the tech lead. You know, I'm 99% of the time in any project, I'm the architect, but I've been the tech lead with teams of, you know, over 100 developers in several situations. And I know you've been in charge of large teams, and frameworks have worked for you in those environments. And I've been in environments where we had frameworks and they worked well. But it's not like, I never said frameworks are evil. It's just not my preference. But with regards to, you know, yeah, dude, should I be changing the code, da, 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 that kind of thing, again, I've got to just keep reiterating that the code is easy to follow. It's ridiculously easy to follow, you know, what I've built in terms of, you know, you look at the page and there's only one thing being called, and you look at that and, you know, there's only one object that really represents that, and yeah, that object is different for every, do I force anybody to learn it? Never. Matter of fact, I actually wouldn't put my money on anybody that works for my company being able to explain to you the way my methodology works, aside from one guy who's worked on a lot of applications where I've done a lot of the lead work, not just the architecting, but the lead work, and actually done, the difference between my methodology is kind of, there's two things I do. I mean, part of what I do is just the approach to modeling what I'm going to build. The other part is how that gets implemented. And there's a really big difference between the two. And I would love to be able to teach everybody, and I try to teach everybody who comes to the company I work for, to About Web, I try to teach all of them my approach to modeling what I'm going to build. How they choose to implement that, I mean, Nick Tunney, is he here somewhere? He might be here. I saw him wander in a minute ago. He absolutely loves Model Glue, and he is my go-to guy. He is my senior architect, and he is a Model Glue nut. And I have never, ever told him not to use it, ever. I do try to correct his domain models when he's trying to figure out what he's going to build, how, you know, that kind of thing. I try to correct what I would consider, questions of logic. You know, how should you really represent what you're going to build? But from an implementation point of view, I don't think that if you want to use a framework, I've never, ever told anybody that's bad. I don't like to do it personally. And I've had amazing successes in environments where I don't use them. Better successes.
I have one question, Simon.
Did
I just understand you to say there's one person in your company that understands what you do?
There's one person at my company that...
Enough said.
There's one person at my company that I would trust to actually teach an audience what I would teach them about my methodology. One person who's had that much exposure to it.
Backpedaler, okay. He uses Mach 2.
No, not him. No. Actually, this is a 21-year-old kid. No, he's not 21 yet. He's a 20-year-old kid. Hell. He's just been exposed to it enough. But anyway, we're running out of time? All right. But no, there is, before we go to a question, okay, let's just take a question real quick. Hold on, Hal. And there is something I do want to actually state and talk with Hal about. Go ahead.
Okay, well... Hey Hal, it's Christian Reddy. How you doing?
Hey Hal, how you doing?
Well, Hal's left the building. Okay. Well, first, Hal, thanks so much.
Thank you. Yep. Sorry.
Hey Hal, just want to say thanks so much for breezing in tonight And Simon, I want to thank you for your humility and your answer regarding your... No, I'm just kidding. I kid Simon. You're a great guy. But my question is, I like to direct my question I like to direct my question to my colleague across the aisle here, and raised really good points here about, you know, do you have to drill down to like 0.1% of the Cold Fusion programmers out there who might know that particular framework? And yet, based upon some of the discussion we've heard since then, I like to ask the panel, is it too much to expect or to ask that 80% or Cold Fusion programmer to simply, or not so simply, but eventually learn that framework in the interest of longevity with the organization and maintainability of the code? Is it too much to ask that individual to learn that framework?
Hal, the question is whether or not it is too much to ask somebody to learn a framework simply because an organization is using a framework. And I'll say that no, I don't think that's too much to ask. If the organization is using it, you should learn it. Get a different job if you don't like it. You know, I mean,
if the organization is using Java or Cold Fusion,
no, a framework.
You think you should go? I'm saying, as an analogy,
I mean, is it too much to ask them to learn it?
No, any more than it's too much to say we need you to learn Cold Fusion if you're going to work here. The same way we can say we need you to learn Fusebox or Model Glue or whatever. No, I think that's absolutely not too much to ask.
One thing I want to say it to the audience more than I'm saying it to Hal, because Hal's already heard it. But, you know, unfortunately for me, nobody else ever does hear it. And this is something that I wanted to make a point of Hal and I definitely openly discussing in front of everybody here, or at least saying. We agree on like 95% of the things out there. We really do. Hal knows it. He might not want to admit it right now, but it's true. We do. I don't think frameworks are evil. And I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes I'm an absolute son of a bitch, for lack of a better way to, you know. I'm a real pain sometimes. I like causing trouble. I like talking about things in my blog. I like coming here and doing this kind of thing. I was dying to do this. And you know why? Because I hope I've made you all think. I hope this debate made you guys think. I don't really care if you use a framework or not. My company uses frameworks all the time. We build applications all the time where we don't use frameworks, right? The one thing I do make every single developer I hire do is question why it is they do the things they do. Why are the things that they think are best practices, just at a syntax level? Why are they best practices? Have you ever stopped and think why? Why do you use Cold Fusion? I ask that all the time. I love Cold Fusion. I want more people to use Cold Fusion. But you go up to a client, and when I go up to clients, I say, why did you decide to use Cold Fusion, not .NET? Usually they say, I don't know, we have it. That's the stupidest reason to use anything I've ever heard. I mean, you know, use it for the reasons you should be using it. Rapid development, you know, I mean, the J2E platform, whatever. But God, don't just say, I don't know, we just have it in a box. That's dumb. And, you know, and I just like to make people think. And I like causing this trouble. And I know it's kind of made me the... you know, the unofficial pincushion for, you know, I mean, you know, you think Cold Fusion programmers are devout? Take Cold Fusion programmers that use a framework. My God. You guys are just the most, you know, absolute. It's like a, I mean, God, Cold Fusion programmers are a cult, but, you know, people who like, you know, who use frameworks are just, you guys are nuts. I'm sorry. You're really insane. And it's all your fault, Hal. So anyway... No, but I mean, Hal and I, quite honestly, we do see eye to eye. We do approach things in many ways identical. We agree on a lot. And all the hype, all the me making fun of Hal, you know, I'll tell you, and it's no offense to anybody who is, you know, at the conference or anybody I work with, but I probably respect Hal more than anybody, any other developer. As another developer, more than anybody I know. As an architect, as somebody who's capable, you know, of actually coming up with original thought, he's one of the few speakers I would go see talk about anything, period. You know, I have fun doing this with Hal. I know Hal has a lot of fun doing this to me.
I do, Simon,
anyway,
and you're very kind.
I wanted to give Hal I did want to say that for the record. I just like the fact that I've made you guys just talk about this stuff. Even if you don't think, you just talk about it. That's good. Hal?
Well, I appreciate that, and sadly, we do agree on many more things than we disagree on, but those aren't nearly as fun to discuss.
Go on.
Well, I just want to say I had a lot of fun. I hope that everybody did. And, you know, we know that frameworks won't solve every problem, and they won't make sure that our domain models are good. They really won't do an awful lot of the things that we need to do, but that doesn't mean that they're not valuable. And the frameworks enable those of us who use them to concentrate on adding real value to the companies that we work for. And I agree with you, Simon, that I hope that people will take this seriously and will really consider whether frameworks make sense for them. You know, one of the nice things is that in using a framework, you've got really smart people like Joe Reinhart and Sean Corfoyle working for you for free. And that, to me, is a pretty valuable aspect of using frameworks.
I agree. Frameworks aren't the answer to everything. No. I'm just kidding, Hal.
Okay, well, that's going to have to end up to be the end of round two and the end of the match.
Yeah.
Let's go, we can go ahead and vote and see who we can win. Who won this?
I got
so,
one
okay,
fan,
you
right?
ready? Who thinks Simon won this?
I'm your fan, Simon.
One guy like me.
Oh, yeah, six.
I got a few more to win.
Who thinks Hal won the match? Uh-oh. Now I got to kick Simon's ass.
Hey, Hal? Hal?
I say we call it a draw.
Hey, Hal.
Okay.
Do me a favor. Show up next time.
I really would like to. I'm bummed that I can't be there tonight. I'm jealous of all you people.
Yeah, I'm sorry you weren't here as well. Anyway.
Well, I do declare a rematch next year, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll get together.
And hopefully in person. And thank you. We'll continue any kind of discussions in the bar without Hal.
Yeah, Hal, you're really going to miss out now. Todd,
well, well, I didn't hear.
Todd was just saying everything's going to continue in the bar.
Please pick up any more popcorn and
coffee. Jeff, thanks for coming up here.
Thanks, guys.
Being on hand. Hey, Hal?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's leaving. I'll be giving you a call, probably when I'm driving home tonight.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Enjoy the adult libations. It was fun, Simon.
It was fun. I'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.